I mean, judgment to me incites that you have an exact opinion on somebody else, and discrimination is more of like an action, I feel. Like judgment, I don't I think it's more inward, and discrimination is a little bit more outward in that sense. Like, that's just how I would differentiate the two.
I was thinking the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
It's like judgment is more of an aggressive action, whereas discrimination is like you're processing information in your head and then making just sort of a decision, like, you know? Whereas judgment is like, yeah, like you said, like you have a firm opinion. And it sort of influences your action.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue for what David's saying, in that, at least in my mind, discrimination is the instinctual, such a weak word, but the thing we do, which is allows us to know hot from cold, up from down.
So,
and then it gets into
so it's categorizing
and stuff like that, and we're starting to head towards judgment.
But
its ability to discriminate, like not in like discrimination laws, but like discriminate as in tell A from B. And so, I mean, to your point, I think I'm more in line with David's definition there, in that that's just this raw ability. It turns into judgment when we decide either A or B is superior or inferior.
I feel like what Michael's talking about right now is discrimination as sort of that external check and balance, that weighing the external things, you know, blonde hair, white skin, that's an external appearance.
Yeah.
But judgment is sort of passed when I internally either perceive something in you like you're this because you have blonde hair. That's judgment in a way. But it's
that's science.
But it comes from internal passing of something. While discrimination, you can just like discriminate male, female.
So yeah, well, like Michael said, it's almost instinctual for us to kind of make these categories and put people in these boxes so we can like process the chaos of the world in a way. And then judgment is when you have those like you are processing it and then form that opinion.
Yeah, it's the passive, it's the discrimination is that passive, you're not really taking any active engagement in it. But the judgment is when you actively are engaged, and whether it be on a moral or usually a moral ground, usually that's where most judgment is passed. Is to do
tricky
with
word, moral,
it's
to
ethic,
throw in. All of them. But
well,
I mean, one thing I want to say,
like Durkheim would say, is that society,
right,
you know, shapes and, you know, forms the morals and the ethics that we have. And it's a very societal function. But judges, you know, they deal with things going on within the society.
Judges,
like
in the legal system.
Point. The legal system, like, you know, the judge passes its judgment. And usually a judge is someone who's considered to be a very upstanding citizen who exemplifies these morals that the society, you know,
right,
uses.
But it's not his own morals.
Well,
he's going by the law.
Well, it depends whether we're talking Supreme Court or whatever, but, right, we do somehow grant them superior authority in deciding good and bad, right and wrong.
Well, it's interesting because I've read it so many times. The whatchamacallit, that book, Things Fall Apart. I've read it twice since I've been at Hunter. And there's a scene where a man beats his wife. And so they have a council meeting. And there are 9 members of the village who are kind of, who have the highest rank. And they personify gods. They become the gods of that tribe that they believe in. And then whilst the council is residing and judgment is being passed, it's not the people who are judging, it's the gods. The men with their masks, dressed up like the gods, pass the judgment and say, you know, this is the punishment. And it's considered a divine thing, judgment. It's not a man, it's not me and David saying, you know, you fucked up, you did X and Y, you shouldn't beat a woman. It's me and David wearing the mask, and we are now the God passing judgment. So there's always been that divine function that,
well,
that function, that judgment, a man can't just
back
simply
up
pass
a step,
it.
Though. in that, I mean, I think one of the primary questions we've been addressing is judgment necessary? It's really the core of what we come to. Discrimination, I will argue, is necessary. And I was going to say, just to even simplify it further, discrimination is also things like, that step is higher than that one, so
right.
I will lift my leg.
Right.
And we don't tend in that case to say, ooh, that's a bad height, and that's
right.
a good
right.
one, or that spot's wet, and that's bad. Well, though, actually, with wet, it does seem like we very quickly head into deciding which is good and which is bad.
Yeah, there's a blurry line.
And the big issue to me is that it becomes absolute.
Discrimination seems more intuitive, maybe, and judgment is somehow learned.
Yeah,
like,
there's some there.
Like Guapo right now just discriminated between inside and shady and outside and sunny, and he was just chilling in the sun.
Right.
I would think he wasn't saying, this is good, and inside
this
is
better,
bad.
Probably
yeah.
not.
He was just more comfortable and made that discrimination,
yeah.
made decisions. But
well, and also he can say, oh, I want to be in there, these people are chatting, and it looks fun to be near them, but that doesn't mean he thinks being out there is bad and this
uh-huh.
is good.
Right.
It's just a choice.
It's just a choice without a label to it, without
yeah.
Getting your own ego involved.
So how do you kind of deconstruct that instinct when, as humans, when we do make that kind of, we form that opinion and we do discriminate against or make pass judgment that something is inherently better than something else? Can we get rid of that?
Well, I think we can definitely get rid of it. I mean, but
I think that's
the question becomes, I think, especially in certain circles, is, you know, should we? Like, no, there must be right, there must be wrong. And again, to me, it always only becomes problematic when it's absolute. Because I think it becomes a personal choice, turns into right or wrong when it becomes codified in some way. Like, I never want to have this again, or... You know, I mean, whatever, you know, someone biting you on the street is wrong, but in the throes of passion, it might be right.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's the thing, is once we codify it into social rules and laws and stuff, I think it trickles back to us, and
yeah.
then we think everything has to be, that's good, that's bad, that's good. I mean, like, these crazy pictures of these weird-ass people trying to get roommates... You know, they're all over the place, and I call them weird, but I'm weird, so that's fine. It's not a judgment. It's just, mostly I'm learning to look at it dispassionately and be like, what is happening here?
Huh.
Like, and that's when you suspend, my experience has been when you suspend judgment, you can see more clearly.
Hmm.
It's not about I like or don't, because if you say I like it, you bring it closer. If you say I don't like it, you push it away.
When you say what is it, and you inquire about it.
Then it's a middle distance where you can focus.
And judgment is basically duality. Would you guys agree with that? Like, we're...
I think it's hard for it not to be. I mean, I guess it can be numerality, too, but...
I didn't know that, like...
Like,
but
it's not
more
just
than
A and B,
once,
but there's
right.
more
it
variables.
It can be five's better than four is better
right.
than three, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely... In our world, and often, the issue is it's black or white.
You know, when you and I were just talking, it's... I was saying how, you know, I can never know someone else's experience. I can never know who someone else really is. And it's interesting because when you judge someone, it's almost like you are pretending that you do know who that person is. And you're saying, I know who that person is. When in reality, we're all a mystery to each other. We will never know someone fully. So we really should never judge people in the way that we do, or we categorize them and kind of form these... silhouettes of who they are.
Tim, we talked about this just on a side note one time, like, about how we felt we were being really judgmental towards other people, like, the more we learned.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I feel that way, too,
you
sometimes.
Know, like, sometimes the more you learn, you think, wow.
But you have a self-awareness of it.
Yeah.
And
true.
I think that's important.
Definitely.
Because I think that the people I come across where they have... They pass judgment and are really... latch on to that, and they aren't self-aware of about the fact that they could be wrong about these people, or they, you know, I don't know. That's when I think it's problematic. But I think self-awareness in judgment is.
And it becomes harder the more you think you know someone, like
yeah.
with a close relative or like a relationship. The more you get to know them, the more you start to pigeonhole them and say they're that type of person, and then it's easier to judge them for it because
mm-hmm.
you don't give them any benefit of the doubt that maybe they were just having like. An off day, or whatever it was.
Do you think that's first part too, where you're judgmental at the first glance?
Oh,
that
yes.
In a way is sort of seeing life as chaos, as just random flux, just up and down. People are operating just spontaneously, and there's no real consistency to it. So you just kind of feel like, oh, all right, I caught this person on a bad day. They're in a, they're in a flux. They're in a low point. I don't want to really talk to them. Or you, like David and I discussed, you know, you study more, and you start to realize that people, they don't really give a shit about the same things you care about. And it's very easy to get caught up in a judgmental mode of thinking and be like, oh, you fucking Facebook whores. But David also brought up the meditation, and I feel like kind of where that leads in a way is to experience life and come into contact with it
as
and
not
accept
chaotic.
It and see it as being harmonious.
Yeah.
And be in harmony with it. If you're in harmony with what's going on around you, there really isn't time to say bad, good, ugly, beautiful, because you've already accepted it and you've already let it in.
But, I mean, you and I were just talking outside on the balcony before about how I've come across some of those people, and for some reason it sometimes comes off as ingenuine. Like, how are you not, like, do you really look at everyone as one and harmonious? Like, I'm aware that that could be an ideal, and I guess I've never experienced it, so I shouldn't say that that's not what they're experiencing, because
right
I don't know.
But it's not an ideal as much as an attitude.
What?
Really?
Can I
suggest
that?
No, I mean, at the core of it, you're not saying, like, all right, I'm going to live in this state of bliss, where we're all one, but it's an attitude in that you're looking at the world and you're not going to be rash and quick to just hop on and say that this makes me uncomfortable, I don't like it, get out of my face.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I suggest a tweak? I agree with you like 90-something%, except I wouldn't say that there's harmony in the universe and that my goal is to be harmonious with it. I would say there's chaos everywhere and my goal is to be okay with that.
Mm. Being harmonious with chaos.
It
maybe.
Still
yeah.
makes us all one. I still agree we're all one and we're intimately connected, and if we're all just riding the river, to use an overused analogy, together, we'll bump into each other and we'll hang out and we'll separate and it'll be all nice and flowy. But the problem is when the danger of a word like harmonious, which I think, Carly, is what you're pointing out, is that it becomes Pollyannish.
Yeah.
When you see things that aren't harmonious, that are discordant, then you think, well, that's not part of the universe I believe in. But if you assume chaos, then nothing's a surprise.
That comes from just a very, like, mental concentration. Concentrate on one thing, and then if something outside comes in and shakes your concentration, then
and even if
it's not from this world, but
yeah,
if you kind of like to disperse and you learn from different things, from different instances, different attitudes, different experiences, and you know, randomly go forth, not randomly, because randomly might, you know, ensue that it's, again, chaos or flux.
But it is chaos.
But if you, I don't think.
I think it's chaos.
I don't
think
it's chaos.
Chaos.
I don't think. I don't think chaos and
maybe
harmony.
Maybe orderly to God.
You
I
don't
think, chaos and harmony, like, they might be two different words, but I feel like, from what you've said,
right,
and what I've been saying, is that we're both, like, we're on two different trains.
Oh,
we're
really?
Going to the same destination.
I think you're on
the
same train.
We're going to the same destination.
I think we're on the same train. They just have different.
I just feel like it's a different destination, but.
Oh wow!
Trains.
Okay, so
it's the same destination.
That's a good question, because to me the destination doesn't exist. There is only, not to make myself sound fancier, but. Yeah, I've come to understand that the destination's irrelevant, it's the ride.
Uh-huh.
Which is so cheesy, but it's just true. And like, so harmony to me is
just being okay with.
It's being in tune with what the river's doing at the moment, and that's harmonious. But it, but the word is just problematic because you know suddenly someone sings a sour note to stick with the metaphor, and you're like, that's not harmony. But it's no, it's like, oh, what an interesting new note. You know, it's like me, I love saying interesting.
But those are both judgments, saying that that wasn't a harmonious note, or that
that's
was
a, what is that a discrimination?
That a nice
I think, though, it's a judgment, because once you set the bar so high as something like harmony, survival's kind of my bar, so everything seems to be roughly okay in that line.
Right.
Harmony just seems like a lot to ask for. Like happiness, which
is
way too much to ask for, that's silly.
I don't think it's too much to ask for.
Happiness?
Consistently? But that's the concentrated one thing, one track mind that has its goal and wants to reach it.
Right. That sucks.
But that doesn't prevent you from living life. And
no,
and finding joy in the crazy man walking down the street. Bumming for change.
I get that, but my question is, can you also, stick with joy. I'm better with joy than happiness.
Okay.
Can you also find joy in that car accident you had?
Yeah.
Or in that breakup.
Yeah.
Because
you
survived the car accident.
Or in that breakup. In that horrible argument with your soon-to-be ex whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Can you find joy in that? If you can, then I'm down. If joy can cover that as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's all funded and founded in gratitude.
Sure.
If you have gratitude in that moment to see a larger picture rather than that little subjective experience that I got in a car crash, if you can look at it from like a...
Well, it's a perspective shift, and it could be an afterthought, but it's really just a perspective shift, like how you are moving forward from a certain situation.
Right.
Well, and again, you're in danger of this Pollyanna-ish, oh, it's all good kind of thing, which is not what I'm saying. I'm saying, wow, this really sucks so much. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
Like you said in the beginning, like there's a range, and it's, you know, it's not dualistic, it's numeristic, in that there's suffering happens, you suffer. Joy happens, you're joyful. No, pleasure happens, you're feeling pleasure, like it's very temporal. It's very temporal from our perspective. So to think that life underlying is constituted by chaos, there's something underlying it that is, in a sense, even though it's constantly changing, is consistent, and the consistency is change.
Yes. I mean, I would also say, you know, I think I may have said this, but chaos is only chaos to us. I don't know that there's something or one or whatever that it isn't chaotic to, but I think no matter what, the realities of life are beyond our apprehension.
That.
And it goes from individual to individual.
Which is
what's
why
chaos?
We make up these things called, we say,
mm-hmm.
God knows, because something out there gets this, but
right.
It's not for us to get.
Right.
It's just for us to survive and maybe flourish in.
That's because it's not, you're not supposed, okay, you can acquire as many facts and as much knowledge
mm-hmm.
as you like, but there's always going to be another fact that you don't know.
Yeah.
Of course.
So you can't just fill your head up and think that if you obtain all the facts, you know all the facts.
Because you
can't. It's gonna change your life. You can't go to a person and be like, if I know all your facts,
I know.
Then
you will never.
Then
know.
Then I'm not judging
someone else's
you.
Facts. You will never know that. Like,
cause it's so
having accepting that you will never know all the everything about the world, and accepting you will never know everything about another individual is kind of freeing in a way.
But that's kind of what we do when we meet new people, right? Like, or I mean, commonly you say, where you're from, what do you do? Maybe if you're not like that typical, you might say, like, what are you interested in? What have? But that's still accumulating facts about the person rather than just like being with them and kind of seeing
and,
what
and,
comes
yeah,
out of it.
Yeah, and we should act
which
that
is
way.
I think that would be a much better way to know
yeah,
someone because I can tell you whatever.
You say hi,
mm-hmm.
and then just
yeah, yeah.
chill and see
just
what
see
happens.
That, right. Because
isn't that more like a harmonious
yeah.
harmony?
Definitely, I wish more
because
interactions
it,
were like that.
Yeah,
I'm
because then you're
be
not.
More.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do that too because then you can't judge that person in the same way that it immediately the way
right.
we do.
And at least you're judging them based off actions rather than words. Like, I say I'm an investment banker, then you're judging me in whatever way. Maybe
yeah.
it's good. Thing, maybe
like
it's
I remember
bad.
The first time I met you, and you asked me where I was from, and I told you where I was from, and you judged me because of that. Do you remember that?
Right. We were like, nah, you fit more in the West Village.
No, I said that I was from Long Island, and your response was, do people still keep talking to you after you tell them that?
That's it.
You said that to me
yeah,
the
I
first
say
day.
Good things, like, I say novel, a lot of novel things like that.
Do people still keep talking to you after
yeah.
you tell them that?
I like she said Massapequa.
I wonder if I was operating on some other level when I said that, or if I was actually thinking like, ew, you're from Long Island. I wonder. I don't remember.
So here's a big question I have that I want to at least touch on while we do this, which is, what do we gain from judgment? Why do we do it?
Safe, almost like security. Like, we feel safer in that moment. It's like I feel like we feel safe feeling like we have people in a category.
Category, yeah. We try to organize this chaos that we're in.
You get a sense of power over.
Mm-hmm.
You have some sort of power over
the
situation.
So much noise from outside.
Well, it seems soothing.
Yeah. No, but people, like, to what you're saying, people are such a mystery to us at every level when we first meet them,
even
when
you know
someone for 20 years.
Yeah.
But the more we kind of judge them and accumulate information about what they do and their hobbies, whatever their likes, it's like, it makes us feel like they're more tangible and that we like can understand them better, which is more comforting because you don't
control them.
Yeah.
And control them.
Well, that's the next level.
And also you build a, like, if you're doing like group judgment where you with a friend and you're judging someone else,
oh man,
that builds a stronger and nicer bond between
yeah.
you and your friend in a way because you both kind of share this and you both agree
definitely
on something.
Definitely.
And you're just freezing that person.
Yeah.
Because they don't function beyond what you think of them. Whatever they do, when you're not around, that doesn't matter. They
so
don't have a life beyond
we've
that.
Well,
been,
even when they're there, that's this whole black swan stuff of confirmation bias. We only see what confirms our belief about them. Mm.
So we've been talking a lot about like ourselves judging others. I think it's interesting to kind of flip it around and turn it around on us and how like we feel when we know we are being judged.
Right.
That's a heavy, you know, weight too, because it's pretty paralyzing
right.
sometimes when you know you're being judged or and you know the biggest thing for me that I don't like is when I think people make assumptions about me that are wrong
yeah.
and I just want to change
it
but really in reality that's their prerogative to think whatever they want about me. I shouldn't have to like make sure that someone knows who I think I am. They should think who they think I am.
And
but it will affect their behavior towards us, so it is a practical concern
right,
in
right.
some way.
But you'll never fully be able to express who you are in, you know, a conversation.
And I'll never fully know how anyone else really thinks about
never.
Me.
Right, so it's kind of more liberating to just, like,
not give a fuck.
Yeah, I especially
and, like,
for me,
comes
because
from it, comes
I think
from
for a while I just tried to control what everyone thought of me,
because mm-hmm.
I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be in control of that. Like, no, I'm going to show you who I am, and you're going to know me. But
no,
I can't control that.
It's exhausting to do
it
that.
Is
it's
exhausting.
Exhausting.
It's exhausting because then you have to keep up this persona. Like,
right.
I don't know, I'm different.
Well, the word, I just thought it was going to be all professory anyway, but yes, it's persona.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally persona.
My
yeah.
persona here is different than when I'm at work.
Yeah.
And it's because I feel that the people will be less accepting who work at Nike marketing than
right.
you know my philosophy.
Well, here's
that's
the question.
Very sad because then you have to limit yourself and you have
absolutely.
To
absolutely
do you
yourself.
Though is the question because one thing I'm finding as I get older and care less about it,
mm-hmm.
others' opinions of me, in a good way, And I find the more I just am willing to just be myself and not care how I get judged, the more accepting I find it is in environments I wouldn't expect to be accepting. I mean, I even remember when I worked at Bankers Trust, they put up with my weirdness. They liked it. Oh, look, there's the guy who does what he wants.
Because
he becomes some kind of circus freak.
People, we generally have some judgment where we can judge, that person is being fake.
Yeah.
I knew how much I was being judged on my trip. Like, I felt it. Like,
right.
I know it. And I was trying to have that attitude about, like, I was really trying hard to just, like, let go of it and be like, it is, I can't control this. They're going to think whatever they think of me, and I'm just going to be who I am. But I still had it, like, in my gut. Like, I still felt like I just want to, like, it's just, like,
this
drive.
We can't get rid
like,
of it overnight. Like, we've been
hard.
Spending all these years developing it within ourselves. Like,
well, and that's
it's
part
so
of
hard
the, thing, the practical
like,
issue.
It's so hard to be like, that's their problem, and then let that penetrate.
Because it's,
into
it's still
their actions, because that's their problem. And it's one thing saying that's their problem and still being hurt by it. But it's another thing to let that penetrate into them and not be affected or swayed by it.
Because we are still, because you know what?
It's
still
flux.
Yeah, it's still about us in a way. Because, you know, we want to connect to people and we want people to like us.
Mm-hmm.
We do. I don't
of
think...
Of course. That's
yeah.
the bonobo stuff. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
So
I mean,
when we feel like people don't like us, it's... Like, I wish I had an attitude when I know someone doesn't like me to just be like, okay,
mm-hmm.
that's fine.
But, you try
but
to
I don't.
Fix it,
I'm
right?
like, why
you
doesn't
too.
This person like me?
Isn't it so nice when someone likes you?
Mm-hmm.
It's
just
so
like,
nice.
It's just like, wow. It's
well,
just a nice feeling. Like, you're accept. You feel
yeah.
like you are accepted.
Well, you know what else you feel that's important?
An erection.
Safe. That too, which is a similar concept, but safe. You know they'll
yeah.
have your back. We're
the
social pathetic animal.
I've heard a quote that just all everyone wants when they're meeting someone else is to be accepted.
Right.
You know, to feel like.
I accept you guys.
Ain't it cool to also not only want to be accepted, but it's two ways, but you gotta actively
uh-huh.
accept them.
I know.
Right.
I was. So I turned the lens on us, and
right,
now
right.
it's like, let's turn it back.
But then, like, what's the judgment we're doing when we're saying they're gonna judge me for this, or they're judging me right now, or
okay, well,
I don't feel like
good.
I can be myself around
uh-huh.
you. I'm judging you that you're not
so
gonna be open enough
to
handle.
You look
here.
At yourself as fragmented, all these different facts that you want to push forth.
Mm-hmm.
You
want to
be like, I'm a college student. There's a fact for you. Chew on that.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, but that's all protective.
It's
after
kind of
the
selling
fact.
Yourself.
But what is the I don't know, I'm trying to think of a clever way to say it, but what is the first judgment? What is the judgment that has to happen before any of these other issues come up?
Are they attractive?
What?
That's what it is?
I would say I and you, that's a judgment.
Well, close, but what?
Wait,
you
but
know?
Even, so even like inter...
Before we start judging others, what do we have to judge?
Ourselves, and that...
But that's the bottom line.
That's why book by Albert Camus, The Fall, is such a beautiful book that you can pass over on it because any judgment you pass is shallow at first to the depth that I have
round and round the